I'm going to talk a little bit about the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program and some of the stakeholders and processes we've used to translate it for use in the workplace. Show of hands really quickly, who's familiar with the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program? Good. Well, for some of you who are not, we'll introduce a little bit about the program and then, of course, talk about some of the stakeholders and processes that we've used to make sure that this is a more palatable and appropriate program for use in the workplace. I have nothing to disclose, as do neither do any of my co-presenters, but I do want to recognize the team that it takes to do some work like this, and it has taken a long time. What I'm actually going to talk to you about today has taken upwards of 2 years to accomplish, and we're just now getting ready for the full implementation stage. So this is something that's really taken a lot of time and a lot of human hours. As we all know, disease management is incredibly important, and that's because we need to maintain that workforce, and we need to make sure that our productive workforce is healthy despite the growing prevalence of chronic disease and, of course, aging. But we do know that there's a lot of barriers associated with implementing health promotion and disease management programs in the workplace, and there's a variety of reasons. I don't think I necessarily need to highlight those to you. So what, again, I'm going to do is introduce a little bit about the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program, CDSMP as it's called, and justify its need to translate for use in the workplace, talk a little bit about the stakeholders, a little bit about lessons learned, and then where we are in this project and where we'll be moving forward. So a little bit about Chronic Disease Self-Management Program created by the medical school at Stanford University, Dr. Kate Lorig and her colleagues at Stanford. This is an evidence-based program with over 20 years of history. It is available in approximately, was all throughout the United States, but it's in about 30 countries, 16 different languages. There's many different translations of this that cover cancer, HIV, arthritis, diabetes. It's in multiple languages, and it's very prevalent. It has been wildly and very widely evaluated, and it shows from the triple aims of healthcare reform very high effectiveness in terms of health care, and cost. And so there's a lot of literature out there. For those of you who don't know this workshop, it's a small group workshop style, six sessions hosted over six continuous weeks. It meets once a week for 2.5 hours each time, and it's hosted in a variety of community settings, including senior centers, faith-based organizations, healthcare and resident facilities, etc. Each workshop is hosted by two trained facilitators. One or both of these individuals are supposed to be a non-health-related professional and have one or more chronic conditions. It's a lay leader approach and a train-the-trainer model. But also the lay leaders are trained by the master trainers, and this will come into play when we talk about building the infrastructure to be able to deliver this in a new community that hasn't necessarily had it before. A lot of different topics covered with this intervention, many of which talking about how to deal with problems. We talk about topics such as pain and fatigue and sleep and nutrition and physical activity, but also things such as appropriate exercises that can be done for your chronic condition, use of medications, not necessarily talking about which medications they should use, but talking about the appropriateness and how best to adhere to the regimens, working with their healthcare providers, and again, how to evaluate those new treatments if, in fact, one is newly diagnosed or progressing in some way. So why is it that we had to translate the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program for use in the workplace? Well, from the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the United States gave a large amount of dollars to be able to implement the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program in 45 states and 2 territories. In about a 24-month period, over 100,000 people went through this program across the United States. But only about 500 people, or 0.05%, were reached in a workplace setting. And we know that people in workplaces have chronic conditions. They're getting younger and younger with these chronic conditions, and they're collecting multiple chronic conditions, and they're hungry for programs. So how is it that we can get the program into the hands of the people who need it? We do know that the current structure, being a 2.5-hour workshop, is not conducive to employers or employer groups to implement on work time, even before or after. It's very difficult, very challenging. So we really do need to tailor this intervention to meet their needs, not only to boost productivity, but also to deliver this widespread to their workplace at a lower cost and sustainable way. So with that said, along with Dr. Wilson, who you just heard from, we are the lead PIs on a 5-year grant from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute that was awarded to the University of Georgia. And in this grant, what we are attempting to do is to translate the existing CDSMP workshops, but assess not only the health outcomes associated with the workshops to make sure that we can translate it and get the same health outcomes that we know and expect and love from this existing program, but also to understand a little bit more on its biomarkers and then even more on its cost effectiveness and return on investment. And so really making sure that we examine these. The intervention itself, again, is taking place and will be in full implementation. We're looking at the turn of the year, but it's in South Georgia, down in Colquitt County, and there is about 9 to 11 different workplaces that we'll be engaging with. So who is it that we needed to have this translation? And please note that these are just a small sample of the groups that's really needed to do a lot of this, and this is a lot of different time and effort. But when we talk about the translation, the original program developers, especially at Stanford, are extremely essential, as are the chronic disease self-management master trainers. But then again, the individuals who are living and working with chronic conditions are also really important in the translation process. And, of course, those translation and evaluation specialists, which were really us at the University of Georgia and some of our other contractors and consultants, to understand that there are various lenses that we have to look at because there are various needs and expertises and perspectives that we need to take into consideration to make sure that we're doing a thorough translation. So each of these relatively simply just talk a little bit about why it is that they're so important and a little bit about the processes that we took to make sure that we got the information that we needed. First and foremost, the program developers, a long time history with this intervention, a long time with translating this chronic disease self-management program into other forms that are specifically tailored for arthritis and cancer and caregiving, HIV, so many of these others. They've been involved in this process, so they understand what it takes. At the same time, they're also very equipped with training and creating the leaders necessary to implement the program, but also a lot more about how to offer and manage the program in a grand scale dissemination. They've been doing it for so long. It's obviously nationwide and international at this point. They have a lot of experience with this. And so with that, the processes that we've taken, they're ongoing, they're constant. A lot of conversations, a lot about weighing options and pros and cons. And of course, when we were collecting information from these other stakeholders, they were helping us to vet and validate what it is that we were learning and make sure that we were really integrating it appropriately, but then also making sure that when we develop new materials, when we were thinking about the questions to ask and develop the processes to get this information from the different stakeholders, that we were really thinking it through and thinking about some of the things that they have so much experience with. With the master trainers, these are the individuals who train the lay leaders who host the workshops, but they themselves are oftentimes lay lead trained before actually becoming master trainers. And so with that said, these are the individuals who really have a great understanding of the program and also about training these lay leaders. They have a lot of different interactions and experiences with people with chronic conditions, so they understand the human element and who it is that we typically get with this program. So with that said, we engaged the master trainers in a couple different ways, one of which was a survey where we got about 150 individuals to participate, where we really were looking to see what did they think about the existing content, the existing format. What would need to happen if we were to engage a younger working population? And what have they seen in some of the other workshops that they've delivered with those types of individuals who are working? We were especially interested in those people who have ever had any worksite experience. Have you delivered this in a worksite? And if anybody's on these listservs about the Stanford Chronic Disease Self-Management Master Trainer list, this is a topic that comes up all the time. People want to know, how do I reach the workforce? And so the unfortunate part is it's a very challenging experience and we're not getting a lot of success. But what we were able to do then was take any of those individuals who had experience delivering this or at least challenges with trying to engage workplaces, and we did in-depth interviews. And we were then able to assess a little bit more about the nuanced information, about what it is that it would take, what would be appropriate, what should be changed, what are their recommendations if they were to do this with a newer population. Very informative. Obviously, the individuals who are living and working with chronic conditions have great insight because they're the ones living and working with chronic conditions. And they also have, in some ways, been exposed to different workplace health promotion programs or initiatives. They know a little bit more about their specific work environment. And so what we were able to do with them was engage five different focus groups of about 45 individuals and have them talk to us, not so much about the program, because they don't know what the program is, they had never been exposed to it, but much more about what it is like to live with their chronic condition, what it's like to work with their chronic condition, what it's like when they have barriers, or what is it like when they have certain expectations that they don't necessarily want to voice up. What is it that they really need to know and share with us when we talk about translation and what could best meet the needs? Then, of course, we brought up some information to see whether or not a program like this, a structure like this, would even be palatable. And so it was a very encouraging experience. But I would also like to say that on average, the 45 individuals that we attracted to these focus groups had 1.6 chronic conditions. And that's actually really high. I mean, again, these are younger working individuals, and there are a lot of chronic conditions included. And then, of course, there's the team at the University of Georgia. And this is where, you know, we are very experienced and interdisciplinary, where we have, as you saw in Mark's presentation with the last health coaches and motivational interview individuals, they're on our team too, and one of which is a trained master trainer. And I've been evaluating the CDSMP program for many years nationally and at a state and local level. And of course, we have such experience with workplace and translation that it's a really great interdisciplinary team that we have to be able to really understand not only randomized trials, but what it takes to change a program and engage all of these individuals and different stakeholders. But with that said, we have been going through this process for a long period of time. Again, in-depth conversations, collecting the data. We have finished our pilot of this intervention, and we have also engaged in formative evaluations with the different work sites and all the divisions within those work sites to understand what would really meet their needs and what would actually be ideal for reaching or rolling this out to their participants. So this is going on, even though that's not the topic of this presentation. So let me tell you a little bit about the translation. CDSMP over on the left-hand side, the WCDSMP for the lack of a better name, which we are still working with. You can see that the original was 6 weeks. We now have it as 8 weeks, but the primary and major difference in the structure is that it is now 2 times a week for 50-minute sessions versus the 1 time a week for 2.5-hour sessions. Now, that 2.5-hour does have a break included, so the content level is pretty much the same, the amount of contact minutes and contact hours, but we did have to add those additional 2 weeks to make sure that we got all of that content included. We did also modify the content ever so slightly, changing around some of the activities and some of the different examples, brainstorms, problem solve activities. Still on-site or off-site, depending on who these individuals are. And also on or off work time, that's similar between the two interventions. Still, the workshops will be facilitated by 2 lay leaders. And much like all of the other translated chronic disease self-management programs, it's not only a 4-day leader training, but they also have to do a bridge training, which is just an additional 4-hour training that is usually done in a webinar sense so that they can be cross-trained to the new format, the new content. And then where the CDSMP has larger groups of about 20 people, this has now been translated, where a max of about 12, because we really need to make those 50-minute experiences last and meaningful in a short period of time, not cover too much information. So naturally, we've learned a lot of things along this way. Translation is absolutely necessary, especially when you take a long-existing, very effective intervention and bring it to a new market. We have a lot of new individuals with chronic conditions, with the need for these services, but we really need to think about how it is that we can really expand the benefits, and that's a lot of what this project is going to do. As I always talk about, each of these stakeholders had something unique to contribute, but it's almost like an orchestra. All these instruments sound great together, but when you really put them together, you truly get to hear the unified voice of what needs to happen, and it helps to guide the process. So including more and more stakeholders and making sure that each of these different groups with their unique skills and training and experience and views about what's going to work and what's going to be successful for their needs is absolutely essential when thinking through a translation process. And timing is most important. Like I said, we're well into our second year of this funding, and you know, we're pretty much on schedule, but our timing, you know, we have to allot for time to be able to make sure these processes are really going to happen. But it's taken a little longer than we thought to get to this stage, but that's fully anticipated, if you look at that last bullet, to expect the unexpected. And how do you expect the unexpected? You just think through and you contingency plan and you make sure you budget accordingly and just bring in a lot of people, a lot of different views. With that said, moving forward, we have completed the pilot test of the tailored workshop, and we are currently building that CDSMP delivery infrastructure that is down in South Georgia, so they're going to be capable to handle the volume of the regular intervention and also the new tailored intervention. We've already created the cross-training, so we will be cross-training these individuals to be able to deliver the worksite version, and we're starting in January. Are planning full implementation where we'll actually start collecting. And then I think the most important thing is, and people ask all the time, when are we going to be able to use this thing? It's going to take time, but after we can get the evidence, we can see how this program works and what its essential elements are. Stanford will go through the process of vetting it, licensing it, and of course, wide scale. But that's not for another few years, and I'm so sorry for that. Bad news for all of you who are involved in this program and are hungry for it. But that's it. Thank you.